T-minus 8 to episode 1000. It's Monday, November 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek Geek News Central. This is show number 992, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a WordPress builder site, a domain name, an Outlook email address for just $1 a month for 12 months, or pick up a free domain with that offer, or get one for just $1.49. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots to share, lots to talk, lots of tech. You know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I'm glad you're here. If you're part of our Ohana or a longtime listeners, hey, thanks for being part of the family here and staying subscribed to the show. You're brand new, got a great show lined up for you. So this is a great one for you to check out the podcast. And of course, most importantly, if you are brand new, we want you to take just a few short minutes and get subscribed to the show. All you really got to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com and you're going to see that big, bright purple button there on iTunes or via an RSS feed. And there's other subscription options available as well on the website. Of course, you can connect with us on Facebook, Google Plus, Twitter. All those locations are real easy to get connected with us. But come over to geeknewscentral.com. Lots of great content on the website on a daily basis by our family of writers that are putting content together for us. So not only will you have this show to listen to, you'll be able to check out The Gadget Professor, The New Media Show, Robot Underpants, The Elder Divide. All great shows, of course, HT Weekly as well. So all the shows part of the Geek News Central family here. And so really it's content there for just about everyone. Of course, Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, was off last week. And many of you had received, received the newsletter, had received an email from me asking you to keep Don, his family, and most importantly, his wife, in your thoughts and prayers. Don had sent out an email to his Ohana, basically explaining there would be no show. Don's wife is critically ill. And one thing that we do here is more important than anything else. Now, this show is just one thing, but, you know, I told Don before, hey, if you need to take some time off, please, you know, family comes first. Don't feel obligated to have to do a show. So him taking an episode off last week, I know how much the show means to him, tells me that if any of you are so inclined, and I know we have folks that listen to the show that are not religious, which is, you know, which is fine. But those of you that are, if you could give Don and his wife and his family a thought, extended a prayer to them, that would be greatly appreciated. Now, if you're on the other end of the spectrum, you know, basically a note of well wishes would be great. Anything, any type of a note of encouragement. And I would encourage all of you that listen to this show to drop Don a line at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. And it's pretty serious. I'll let Don divulge what needs to be divulged at his given time, but it's a pretty serious situation. So my heart and goes out to Don and his family, and of course our you know, it's really tough. You know, I've worked with Don a lot. We've done numerous CESs together. We collaborate on the phone on a weekly basis, talking about different things going on in the space. And I know the challenges that he's been facing here in recent months. And so it's a tough time here for the Ohana And just wanted to get, you know, make you guys aware here at the top of the show. And feel free again to drop down an email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. Of course, this show, we continue to rock forward here. But if you have comments on today's show, definitely you can email me or reach out to me on Twitter at Geek News. The best way on email, of course, is geeknews@gmail.com. That is a place where is the primary location. You can send me information. Had a number of folks send me links via Facebook the last couple of days, which has been fun. So I've got those that we're going to talk about a little later in the show. And some of our longtime Ohana has been sending email too with links. So definitely keep those weird articles coming, because it's the kind of stuff I love to share with you at the end of the show. So, of course, the newsletter is available on the website. Getting subscribed to that is just really a piece of cake. Geeknewscentral.com/newsletter is the webpage. And all you go to is just drop your email in there and sign up. And all it is it's a one-way Google group. It's nothing fancy. And we're not going to spam you. We're just going to send you the show notes directly following the show. So make sure you get hooked up there. And, of course, I want to remind folks that we are with the clock change right now. We've got, it's only 5 hours to the East Coast. So it's only, let's see here. It's 1 a.m. versus 2 a.m. So if you want to join me live, you can do so at live.geeknewscentral.com. Those of you on the East Coast, it's only 11 o'clock. I mean, West Coast, it's only 11 p.m. Pacific time. So for many of you, instead of watching the late show, you can watch the late geek show here every Monday and Thursday night. We've employed a new chat room, and I see some of the folks are actually trying it out already, and someone said, hey, my shirt's matching the dinosaur underbelly. Yeah, I don't know how that worked out. It just did, and of course, he's referring to the Ohana store. For those of you that are listening, he's referring to the Ohana store screens that are to my left and behind me that we have our Skype callers or Skype interview folks come in for the new media show. So anyway, again, following Google, G+, Facebook, all those places. And of course, you can watch the show, kick back in your lazy boy on the Roku, Google TV, Chromecast, just about every device known to man. I think you can watch this show. Of course, check out the Tech Podcast channel. If we don't have a channel on the device, just come over to the website or and let us know if you're having a hard time getting the show on a specific device. We definitely want to hear that from you as well. Of course, I want to thank our sponsor tonight. Of course, our sponsor for been here since for 9 years is our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And have not heard from my GoDaddy rep. So what that means is that the deals that were available in October are now still available in November. Now, I've totally screwed up here. I'm looking at this page. It says GoDaddy promo codes October of 2014. And I need to change that. But anyway, GNC 30, 30% off all new orders. Geek149, get a .com for $1.49. And of course, our great offer where you can get a domain, website builder, Microsoft Outlook email address for $1 per month for just 12 months. Again, you can get a new or transferred in .com for just $1.49. And then we've got all our hosting and economy, you know, basically WordPress hosting, economy hosting. All of those are available for $1 a month as well by using the promo codes PRESS4, GEEKS12. Really, there's lots of deals there, 50% off. So there's you can mix and match and find an incredible deal. Now, as I reminded you guys on the last show, I've been building a site to share with my, I have to talk tone down because I know she's just on behind the other door. I've been building a 20-year anniversary site for her and I. And it's going to remain private, but basically got a new domain. I got a WordPress site and I set it up with a photo theme, and it allows me to do stuff by year. And I've been going through our archive and I've been finding baby pictures, pregnancy pictures, trips, anything of major significance. And putting in videos. So I'm making this basically this timeline that will be for her and I and eventually the kids, obviously. But this is one way, if you're thinking about doing something cool, you can do this for a birthday, You can do it for a family member, you know, and it's really inexpensive. You know, that domain name and that hosting account. And I bought the low end hosting account because it's just going to be us doing the, you know, visiting the site. It's not going to be open to the public, and it'll be giving that as part of my 20-year wedding anniversary gift here in about, well, 16 days. So actually 17 days if I count today. But anyway, that's just one of the things I'm doing with using a GoDaddy product for. And again, you can give a domain as a gift, give a hosting account as a gift. You know, if you've got someone creative in your house, feel free to do that. Lots of different stuff there. Everything from top level servers all the way down to a whole bunch of commerce tools, you name it. GoDaddy has it. And, you know, they have really, and we've talked about this a little bit early in the year, they've made a huge, huge shift over there. No jiggle anymore. It's more serious, and it's more respectful to all genders, and lots of, you know, basically changing leadership over there, lots of cool things. And I'm happy to see them have made, you know, as big a change as they have with, you know, the corporate image and everything else. So, definitely check out GoDaddy. Again, all my promo codes, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Feel free to pick up a product and use one of my codes. And if you don't, you know, someone that may need a product, definitely share my code, share my link, tweet it, do whatever you can, because every usage of the code counts. All right, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let's go ahead and switch gears just a little bit. All right. I'm waving the help wanted flag, and I've got a project, but I'm looking for, and this is going to be a good deal. This is going to be a good project for a programmer. I'm looking for, and you know, I've had great luck in the past finding real well-qualified people that just doing a shout out on the show. Or if you know someone, let me know. I'm looking for someone that's had experience doing maybe apps on Facebook, have maybe done some integration code with Twitter, and maybe have done some WordPress plugins. So that's kind of a wide variety there. But Flash experience, PHP, what else? Probably some API integration, that type of stuff. So if you have those skill sets, please immediately, and I want you to email me at this is a different email address. I want you to email me at CEO@rawvoice.com and provide your resume or your, you know, portfolio or whatever you may have. Definitely want to hear from you soon. And if you know someone that is in between work or looking for some coding work, they need to reach out to me ASAP, all right? And we'll put them to work and they'll have a great Christmas. Okay, so what else? As I mentioned in my last show, I will be flying out to Michigan on Thursday afternoon. So that the show, I'm still trying to figure out what we're going to do, may end up having a delayed show, audio only. It's all dependent on how the schedule works out, or if I get someone to step in, we'll have someone come in and step in. But if you see a show, it's great. If you don't, know that I wasn't able to make it happen. But again, a kind of an unexpected trip, need to make it happen. And I know we got a bunch of audience members that are in the basically the tri-state area, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. You're all within striking distance of me, within a couple hour car ride. So Saturday evening, we're going to be having a major meetup at my house. And that will be Saturday the 8th, not my house, but my mom's house, my mom and sister's house. And Saturday, November 8th. So if you are within striking distance, you want to come down, we're going to get started about 6 p.m. Michigan time. Send me an email and I'll get you the address and come out and hang out in my homestead. And it should be a lot of fun for all. And we'll wrap and chat and have a good time. Okay, what else? Think we got the sound where we need it to be. I'm pretty happy with that. So I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. Have you guys noticed a difference in the sound quality of the show? I've gotten a few thumbs up on the email thread. So those of you that have dropped me an email, I appreciate it. And of course, this past Saturday, we did an interview with Rob Walsh from Podcast 411 and Libsyn on the New Media Show. So talked with him. That was a great interview. That's up on the newmediashow.com website. So definitely check that out if you're a content creator. Okay, so we're marching here to show 1,000. Boy, oh boy, it's going to happen. You know, it's going to creep up on me. It's you know, we're basically 8 shows away, or after this one, 7. And depends on if I track, obviously the 1,000th show will be the first week of December. We're going to be inducting some folks that have been contributors to the show on show 1,000. And they're going to be, basically given a great title. And it's folks that have contributed at least $1,000 to the show since the inception of people contributing money to the podcast. So we've got a number of people that are going to be qualified for that. And they're going to give a nice gift in return. And we'll definitely, of course, be giving a shout out to all of our longtime supporters as well. But if you want to become one of part of our GNC 1000, part of our insider group, geeknewscentral.com/insider. And I know we've been adding some folks recently, and I definitely appreciate all of you that are contributing to the show, whether it be $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month. And we'll be going through all the most recent contributors on probably the next show. But I definitely appreciate everyone that is contributing to the podcast and helping things make things happen here. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the tech. I've got a great stack of stuff for you tonight. But since we have last met, you know, a super serious tragedy here with the Virgin spaceship and the Virgin Galactic spaceship. And initially, everyone kind of was pointing their fingers at him, saying it was the engine that blew up. And it turns out today, the initial findings, at least what the press is saying, what the NTSB is saying, is that there was a flight control surface that was turned in, basically put into feather mode when it should have been streamlined. And it happened, from my understanding, completely accidentally. They basically went to the pre-arm mode, and then they actually have to change a lever to make it move. And apparently the system self-commanded. So they've got a major, major, major problem there. And it may have happened right about the time they were crossing the sound barrier. But as we all know, and if you've been on a rock and haven't been paying attention, you know, this thing that end up being, tragedy with the pilot dying and the co-pilot being able to bail out, but sustaining serious injuries and loss, of course, of the airframe. So, you know, if any time you have if you think about the speed that this thing is going, of course, they're under high G's, accelerating and about ready to punch through or punching through the sound barrier. There's this shock wave that, you know, you kind of compress through. I've been lucky enough to, in my early days when I was in the Navy, to be able to ride in a dual seat FA-18 a number of times, and was able to get, plus one Mach speeds. And it's pretty incredible to watch the vapor cloud basically come across the aircraft. And there is, you know, a lot of dynamics that are happening right then. Many, many years ago, when Chuck Yeager and that team was chasing the sound barrier, and they killed a lot of people, you know, because the aircraft were breaking up, and, you know, those aerodynamics against the airframe was a pretty big challenge for them initially. And they didn't have all of the sensors that they have now. And so for this flight control surface to change its pitch or direction at this critical moment spelled doom for the aircraft. So I guess the question, you know, and I kind of had it in my headline in my YouTube live, episode segment tonight. It's talking about space tourism. You know, how big, you know, and I'm really looking for those of you that are thinking about this, how big of a setback is this really going to be? Is this going to, you know, is this going to be something that is going to be unrecoverable? Are they going to be able to pick up their pieces and, get the next airframe ready and make this happen? Do you think people are going to cancel? I think they've got close to 100 people that have paid $250,000 for this ride. prepaid. So, you know, is it going to be, how many years are we going to get pushed back? Would you be less willing to get in the airframe? You know, this business is risky. Anytime you're dealing with high performance, airframes, especially getting up there in those upper altitudes, you know, it's fraught with danger. So we're going to have to, obviously we're going to have to see where this leads and what they're going to be able to, if they're going to be able to recover from this, but it does make you, sit back and go, just a little bit. Personally, I think they're going to be able to recover. It's truly, they're going to be a part about the finances. Are they going to be able to financially, make that happen? Are they going to be able to survive this, dollar wise? And if they can, and they can figure out what went wrong and put the safety systems in place to really to make the spaceship a safe vehicle, I think they're going to do very, very well. But just like, you know, the shuttle disasters that we've had, you know, and we lost two space shuttles. And, you know, we lost a crew on the pad during the Apollo timeframe. You know, these guys were doing a checkout and, you know, they basically, you know, burned up in a fire. So, you know, it is not unusual for us, sadly, to, you know, kill people in the pursuit of going to space. And I think in the end, any of us that will have that kind of money to step up to the plate to go fly are also have to understand that without big risk are no, you know, you have to have a big risk to have a big reward, right? And time will tell on how this is all going to work out. But I feel bad for that team. You know, I told you guys before that I was able to go out to Mojave in the 90s. And basically, I met some of that team, the Allied Composite team. It was a great tour that I got of that. At the time, it was just a hangar. And the stuff they were doing out there with high performance aircraft was pretty awesome. So, you know, that was many, 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 many years ago, 20 plus years ago, or maybe not even 20, but, you know, close to 20 years ago. So we will see where this leads with them. But, you know, absolute tragedy there in Mojave, and hopefully they'll pick up the pieces and move on. All right, next article just talks a little bit about some news. And those of you that are huge buffs of Clark's 2001 Space Odyssey, you guys are going to get excited here, because the Sci-Fi Channel has basically, they're going to put together a sequel for Clark's 2001 CKO 3001, The Final Odyssey, based on the 1997 novel of the same name. 3001 picks up with Dr. Frank Poole, who is awoken from his deep freeze 1,000 years after Hal's 9,000 infamous little pod bay temper tantrum. And they're going to move forward with the series here. And I cannot wait. This is going to be awesome. So if you're an Arthur C. Clarke or Ridley Scott fan, it's got everyone that listens to the show. If you are not a fan of that movie series, I'm sorry. Like Blade Runner, Aliens, all that stuff. You know, you need to get your geek cred on and order those up on Netflix. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do there with this. But that to me was probably more exciting than any of the news today, because I am a hardcore sci-fi buff. I just in the last maybe 2 or 3 years, I've probably read 100 sci-fi novels and series. I just, you can't eat it up enough. You know, like many of you, we probably wish we were born another, you know, 1,000 years from now, when it potentially all of us are going to be, you know, humans will be going off planet and exploring the universe. You know, we're all born in the wrong time. At least, you know, I'm not saying that and I want a do-over. But, you know, if humanity still is able to survive within 1,000 years and we're able to get off planet, wouldn't you have rather been born into that time? Of course, you don't know what you know, right? But it's always wishful thinking. All right, this past yesterday, I was able to have a gentleman in here from New Zealand that does a New Zealand tech show, and he, him and I recorded a podcast together, and he had come to Hawaii on vacation, and he drug his lovely wife and 4-year-old to the Microsoft store in the Ala Moana Shopping Center, and he had to go in there and get the new band from Microsoft, and you know, this was a big, you know, and I kind of was like, be honest with you, I kind of read about it and I kind of ignored it a little bit. I was just like, okay, it's another band. And I really didn't do a lot of homework on it. You know, largely because, again, you guys all know that I quit wearing my Fitbit. You know, it's still sitting here. I quit wearing it because of the privacy concerns. Him and I talked about that on his show. And I was enamored with the new device, the new band by Microsoft. What blew me away, the first thing was, is the way it's worn. It's not worn like a watch with the screen up on top. The screen is like on the backside of your wrist. And that to me was absolutely bizarre. And I still don't fully understand that, because what it does is then it wraps around and in the top of the clasp is on the top of your wrist, and there's a sensor on top, there's a sensor on the bottom, there's like 10 sensors in this thing, GPS, a whole bunch of stuff. Now, it looked, and it's heavy, number one, but I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, do I really want to wear this? Because it's not aesthetically cool. You know, flip the thing around and let me see the, you know, at least have the little screen up on top. But no, they have it worn on the back. Now, I understand why, because this is a fitness band. So if you're running, right, and you look up, you can keep your stride up and you can look at your band or touch it and still see it instead of looking this way. So you're working out, you know, doing weightlifting, or you're on the cross trainer. So what are you doing? It makes sense that they put the screen on the inside of your wrist. Now, it just, you know, for me, I'm thinking aesthetics, it doesn't make sense. But from a usability standpoint, I think it does. Now, the weight is what kind of surprised me the most about it. And it comes in 3 different sizes. So if you picked one up, love to hear your feedback on it. He actually kind of pushed me over the edge. I'm probably going to go get one. And if nothing else, they've got some cool apps that they're starting to build. The Starbucks thing is built into it. You can have your Starbucks card in there and they can scan it. If you got credit on your Starbucks card, you don't need cash. You can just, you know, take your latte with you. So that was kind of cool. And it works with all apps, with all devices, Android, iOS, or Windows Phone, which was smart. Another thing he had here, too, was he had some products that are not even available in the United States yet. He had a Samsung S smartwatch. And I will have to admit, I've been watching the Samsung smartwatches, but the S model was pretty nice from a styling standpoint, functionality, the curved screen, real sexy, big, a little bit big, and definitely more of a guy's smartwatch. And here's the problem I'm having with these smartwatches so far, and ladies that listen to the show, you're going to have to get vocal, because they're too big for the women. You know, they cram a lot into them, and they make no sense for a woman to wear. They would look weird on a woman's wrist. You know, don't take this the wrong way. You know, guys are typically bigger, you know, and the ladies have a little bit smaller wrist, and they want something that, you know, why does Rolex make a big watch and a little watch? You know, they make one for the men, one for the ladies. The same thing with all the other watch brands, and these smartwatch folks are paying attention very much to the ladies. Now, ladies are worried more about the style than the guys are, because we can put on anything and, you know, we don't care. But they've got to get that figured out. He also had a Samsung Galaxy Note, the new Note. I got to touch that. Oh my, what a screen. Absolutely incredible screen. And one of the interesting things, too, is he had picked up a $99 Toshiba Windows tablet. I didn't even know there was a $99 tablet for Windows 8 available, but it's one by Toshiba that's available. So anyway, enough about talking about what stuff he showed me, but it just kind of this band article that I found on PC World kind of kicked this off for us tonight. But Microsoft is basically ditched its partnership with Fitbit. So, you know, Fitbit's got to figure out what's going to happen, or they're going to really get left behind. And I have to give it to Microsoft. I think we all should clap, because did any of us see the ban coming? Did any of us kind of like, wow, where did that come from? I think they actually didn't do as good of a job of the announcement, because it was so quiet. I kind of slid underneath my radar last week. I said, oh, it's okay, they got a fit ban, but you know, they did a good job of keeping it under wraps, but their launch could have been a little bit more hyped. But you have to hand it to them, they did the best job they could. Okay. Oh yeah, Spitballs is saying in the chat that the shirt that I'm wearing is wrong for Ingress. I agree. I am not wearing an Ingress color tonight. I'm wearing the enemy's color tonight, Spitballs. I'm wearing green. I do have green shirts in my, I don't know, I felt like green tonight. But for those of you that haven't played Ingress yet, it is available for the iPhone. Join the resistance. Okay. Join the resistance. Don't become one of those enlightened weenies. We want you to join the resistance and battle. My son just made a level 9. My younger son is just a little bit behind in making level 9. I hate to say it, I'm still at a level 11. I'm having some trouble getting some, basically, checkpoints. I've got the AP to get to level 12, but I don't have the badges, essentially. And those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you don't care, but quite the addicting game, Ingress it is, and we've been talking here for a while. Now let's talk just a little bit about privacy. And it really, this is important, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but a Virginia Circuit Court judge recently said that it's not okay for the police officers to force suspects to unlock their phones with a passcode. However, the judge also ruled that it was okay for police officers to force suspects to unlock their phones with a fingerprint. Now, this is a little tricky here, but the implications of setting off such a precedent are huge. Now, in the Virginia case, the police were investigating a man accused of trying to strangle his girlfriend. Since the man had a video surveillance system set up, the police had reason to believe that there might be evidence on his phone, and so after obtaining a search warrant, they asked the man to unlock his phone with a passcode so they could look for it. Citing his Fifth Amendment right to not self-incriminate himself, the man refused and the police took him to court. Based on the law, the judge's reasoning sort of makes sense. He basically said that the biometric data is not covered under the Fifth Amendment. Police can lawfully obtain DNA for instances as part of investigation. So why should a fingerprint be treated any differently? So I'm sure this is going to get all the way up to the Supreme Court. But let's be very aware here that if you are pulled over, and this is precedent that has been set now by a court, until this is overturned, if you are told you have to swipe your thumb to open, and matter of fact, they can now force you, they can take your thumb and force it across your phone and unlock your phone. Whereas if your phone was locked with a passcode, they can't force you to punch in the code. Make sense? Okay, it's a fine line here. So this judgment is very interesting, and I'm sure it's going to get kicked up to the higher courts. But, and I'm not saying anyone on this show is a criminal. Don't get me wrong. And I'm sure the criminals will be the first one. This news probably spread like wildfire. all the criminals basically quit using their thumbprint to unlock their phone and went to a passcode. So, if you want to protect your Fifth Amendment rights to self-incrimination, whatever it may be, passcode's what it's going to be. I wonder how this is going to change things with Apple. Now, we'll see where this leads to, but I'm sure this is not the last we've heard about this. All right, switching gears off privacy. Microsoft has ended, hold on to your hats, retail sales of Windows 7 and 8. Huh? Microsoft has officially stopped selling retail copies, of some versions of Windows 7 and 8. The date to stop selling software was set some time ago and should help Microsoft move people on more recent versions of operating system. So the next version of Windows called Windows 10 is due to release in late 2015. From October 31st, consumers can no longer buy copies of the Home Basic, Home Premium, and Ultimate version of Windows 7. So I've got two copies still in the shrink wrap for Windows 7. But now the current version you can buy is 8.1. That's the only thing you can buy on new PCs. Now, this is going to take some time to feed through the market. So if you need some Windows 7 copies, it is time to go out and get them while they last, okay? Just be aware. All right? Please, don't delay. So I didn't know they were going to do this. You know, Windows 7 is the best Windows operating system ever made. And they're stopping this out. They're trying to force people on that piece of crap Windows 8. Come on, just take me to 10. But I don't want to wait until October of 2015. I guess I can run the beta. But there's been some whittling away finally of Windows XP. Windows XP now accounts for 17% compared to 31% last year, and Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 count together for 17%. Windows as a whole accounts for, of course, over 90% of the desktop market in the United States, with Apple Mac OS X operating system around 7% and Linux at 1.5. So, still as cool as the stuff has been on the Mac side, Microsoft is still dominating the desktop market. Also, if you are a iTunes user and you've upgraded to iTunes 12 and you're trying to get access to the info page on media, there's a option to basically re-enable that. They have that kind of deselected in Windows iTunes 12. Just a little heads up, it's actually kind of a podcaster tip there, but most of you probably don't look at that artwork and the artist name and album and all the track data. But that info page is still available. It's just kind of hid away. All right, over on PayPal, they made an announcement today. It just kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit. But I guess if you are, in between paychecks, this may come in handy. But PayPal now lets you pay for packages days after you order them. So if you wish you didn't have to pay for online orders before they showed up, you won't have to. If you've loaded up a PayPal account in the wake of a trial run, the company has formally rolled out PayPal After Delivery. It's a service that gives you up to 14 days after your order to cough up the necessary cash. PayPal gives retailers the money right away. It just waits for you to pay the difference. Suffice to say, this will come in handy if you have a high priority or such as a holiday gift. They can't wait until you have the necessary funds. I also like what I like about this system. You're using PayPal's money for 14 days. And when it comes to drawing interest and transferring, let's say your PayPal balance is down low, you want to buy something, you have to buy it on PayPal, you can just, put it on PayPal, and then you can transfer the money in, and they just, they'll debit your account, but you're basically using their cash for 14 days. This is usually the banks do that. Usually they use your cash for, 14 days. You deposit your check and like 3 days later it shows up in your account. They got that money instantly, but that was a time it was sitting there in their float account, drawing interest and putting money in the bank's account instead of your account at the full interest rate. So, banks do this all the time, but PayPal is now making it available. Also, I want to make you guys aware, and I should have brought this up at the very, very beginning of the show and when I was talking about the Spaceship Two pilot that died. We have a or they have set up a memorial fund for him. And it's a crowdfunding campaign. And they're trying to raise money. So far, they've raised $55,000. He's left a wife and some children. And basically, they're raising money for the family. And Scaled Composites are the folks that set this up. I think I said Allied Composites earlier, right? It's Scaled Composites. So 400 people have helped the campaign exceed its $50,000 goal. Representatives of the campaign are now hoping to raise $75,000 for the memorial fund, and proceeds will be donated to his wife, Michelle. And he has two small children, age 10 and 7. So you can donate $5 or $100 or $1,000, whatever it may be. But it's nice to see they've set this memorial fund up for Michael Alsbury. One of our Tech Podcast members lives right down the street from him. Steve Lee was the person that made me aware of this this fundraiser. And I put it up on my Google Plus page earlier today. An article that made The Verge today: China is shooting down drones with lasers. And I thought, oh, yeah, they're getting into the game too here. So they're shooting, right now they're shooting down their drones with lasers. And, you know, I got to thinking about this because, you know, a drone is out there flying around. It's, you know, sure, it's got its bevy of sensors. And, you know, if they took a, you know, an aircraft off and they flew behind it and shot it down, it'd probably be pretty easy for that to be detected. But if they've got a ship in the shipping lanes or something to that effect, and they just fire the laser at this thing, you know, what are they to know? You know, they burn a hole in this thing and kill the motor and it crashes. You know, the Chinese can kind of go, I don't know, it crashed. And meanwhile, you know, they're, you know, pouring ice on their laser to cool it down. But this isn't designed for drones flying at altitudes around 1,600 feet at speeds of just over 100 miles per hour. So not really, you know, most of these drones are really up there a long ways. And so it puts most military drones really looks like out of reach. And according to state media, the system can bring a drone down within five seconds of locating the target and is operable within a 1.2 mile radius of the installation. The system is designed for drones flying altitudes around 1,600 feet at speeds of just 100 miles per hour. Okay. I think the U.S. has done some stuff too in this market. But I think we had a little more kick to our laser. According to what I remember reading somewhere online, I think in 2012, there was some test. But anyway, so the Chinese are getting in the laser game. We have a lot of digital devices in our homes. We're even locking our doors now digitally. We have such an internet-connected home that we are just setting ourselves up for all kinds of insane type of hack attacks. Refrigerators being turned off, stoves being turned on, you name it, can happen, could happen, and probably will yet to happen. So what are we going to do about some security here? How are we going to be protecting our internet-connected refrigerator from being shut off? That's a discussion that's over on CNET.com. And they're questioning whether or not the manufacturers who are dropping these chips in these devices are really thinking a lot about security. You know, securing the home can be pretty complicated. And it's, I think, you know, locking our doors is one thing and closing our windows and turning on our alarm system. But, you know, all that's digital. So to have rock solid security, that's very expensive. I'm one to know it's the good stuff is expensive. The inexpensive stuff is inexpensive, but yet you really don't know what kind of security it has. So if we have 10 or 20 devices on a network, which I bet you many of you do, you know, load up your, just, you know, do it. Go ahead right now. And if you're sitting at your desktop, you know, if you're at home, load up your wireless router, you know, dial in 192.168.1.1, put your admin password in. and go to the page where it shows you how many devices are connected to your router. And if you have 10 to 20 devices, you know, you shouldn't be surprised. But what happens when that grows to more, and it gives hackers the way to get into different devices? I think the risks are going to grow exponentially over time. And I will say, I am going to revoke a, let's see if I have one of these. I've been using a product from D-Link for, and I actually bought a bunch of these. Stupid me. And they gave me some. But I wrote a review up on this D-Link wireless switch. And what it is it plugs into your wall, and it's got a single outlet on it. It's got a little button on it to turn it on and turn the power on and off. But it connects wirelessly, and then I can connect with my mobile app, and I can look at the power being consumed in this device. Well, the problem I'm having with these units is they're okay for non-critical applications, but they periodically just shut off for no reason. You can put them on a schedule, but you know, it's like, for example, you guys know I use a CPAP machine, and I had one of these in my bedroom, and about 2 o'clock in the morning one night, I woke up and like, my CPAP machine's turned off. And it turned out that everything that was on that switch with this D-Link device had shut off. And I don't know why. I talked to D-Link about it, trying to get an explanation. But this is this model is a D-Link DSP W215. And sadly, I've had to take these off every plug that was running any type of critical function because they would just periodically turn the power off. Now, what happens, and this is just the dumb little power measurement device. You know, it's nothing fancy to this thing. So what happens then when, again, it's something more serious, your Nest thermostat, your smoke detector, your refrigerator, we could end up with some major problems here. And I think we all have to be very, very careful to look at the security and ask tough questions of vendors when they're implementing this stuff. Or did you guys hear about this deal out in Ferguson? Of course, we all know these protests erupted in Ferguson, Missouri. They've been going on for, I guess, like 3 months now. But apparently, the Ferguson Police Department had requested that the FAA implement a no-fly zone around the city. And the reason they were doing it was, as they have found out, to try to keep the news helicopters from covering the story. This is about as, talk about violating constitutional rights. Let's not talk about the other stuff. Let's just talk about this topic. But this Ferguson no-fly zone was strictly about keeping the media out. We live in a country that has freedom of the press. And I think we all can appreciate, as much as we sometimes hate the way the press is these days, because you know, they're all got an agenda, but I think we all would rather have them have an agenda and still have access to stuff than to be locked out of stuff. So this is pretty serious business here, and we'll see where this leads, but I'm sure we haven't heard the end of this, but they didn't want the drones and didn't want helicopters over the top of the protest. They didn't want the news covering the story. I just find it pretty incredible. I really do. All right, over on Yahoo, 8 awesome iPad apps that are free for limited time, save you $35. Briefcase Pro, Instacall, Orb, IMAP for Google Maps, Sunrise Sunset HD, Locketeer Pro, Benjamin Jet Fighters HD, Phone Drive are all free apps available right now that are normally a pay app. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Did you guys hear about that CHP, California Highway Patrol, a police officer that stole nude photos from a suspect's iPhone? Yeah, this gal was being arrested for drinking and driving. And she gave the arresting officer a phone passcode so she could look up a number to basically call and get her out of the pokey. And it turns out the guy found a couple of nude shots of her and emailed those images from her phone to himself. He has resigned from the CHP and now is probably facing criminal charges. What? Are you kidding me? Obviously, he did not know where to go on the internet for that kind of material. Wow. All right. Apple is talking about doing a bond offering. They did this last year. Apple's got a pile of cash in the bank, a huge, huge motherload of billions of dollars. But they want to sell $17 billion in bonds. And I think, why do they need the cash? Well, it's in the devil's in the details. Companies often, and I had to look this up, companies often offer bonds to raise some quick cash from investors at a specified interest rate. Now, Apple's a pretty solid company, and from what everybody's saying, their bond rating's pretty high, and basically the company's offered slim 3-year yield on cash it raises, and they think that they may be using the bond sales to show debt. So a bond, you basically are obligating a debt. So when you sell the bonds, you have to pay that money back. So they're doing some sort of bookkeeping deal here. Otherwise, why do they need the cash? They got a pile of cash. They have more money than Fort Knox, for goodness sakes. Excuse me. And but that's what they're doing. All right. Next thing up, Engadget is going to decide again the best of CES 2015. And there's a whole list of products and services that they're going to review. CNET has been kept on the sidelines again. Not surprising, but Engadget will be running that again. Major, major coup. Matter of fact, hey, I have to say something here. One of the big problems we've always had at CES is we have a vehicle, we're humping stuff back and forth. We have to get to the convention center really early to get a parking spot. And I mean, it really kind of wore on us the last couple of years. Guess who got a parking pass? Yes, I did. I got a parking pass for our team. It's huge, big deal. We get to park in the big boys' lot. I'm so jazzed. You have no idea. We can go eat breakfast. It's basically going to give us like an extra hour and a half to get to the show, get set up, and people aren't going to be as stressed as much. It's awesome. And I should have asked for it a year before. All I did is had to ask my rep over there, say, can we get a parking pass? And she's, oh, yeah, we can get you one. Send me your address. We'll get it to you in December. I'm like, yes. So I'm excited about some of the stuff we're going to have for CES. We'll be talking about that more here soon. All right, NASA's tracking a giant flare spewing spun spot, a sun. Who would ever think that people would get crazy over a parking pass? It's that big of a deal, folks. NASA's tracking a giant flare spewing sunspots across the sun, and it's been pointing right at us. And they continue to be worried about this AR-2192 sunspot. Also, did you know that you can't, in many states, take a picture of your voting ballot? Now, I hope everyone goes out and votes tomorrow. You know, go out there and do your civic duty. I've already voted absentee ballot, but the ACLU is out suing to overturn a statewide ban that is found across many states where that you're not allowed to photo your ballot. I actually photoed my ballot. I was going to post a piece of it online, but I decided, probably need to keep the show and my feed as non-political as possible. This would just cause more, you know, people on the other side of the aisle or, you know, depending on which, you know, camp you're in to be mad. But I consider myself an equal opportunity basher when it comes to politicians, too. So don't get me wrong. Hey, I have to I'm pretty happy today because Apple Pay has expanded to Navy Federal Credit Union. I do banking with them. So I'm going to be able to use Apple Pay with that. And, oh, I did get notification that my 6 Plus has shipped, and it was actually supposed to ship last week Thursday, but it got notification today that it shipped. I'm hoping I have it in my hands. Barry, our finance and legal officer is going to be getting it, and he's going to ship it to my sister's place. So hopefully I get to play with the 6 Plus when I'm in Michigan. But Apple Pay has been expanded to PNC Bank, U.S. Bank, Navy Federal, and others. So a bunch of Apple Pay vendors are coming online. Also, Acer has its first laptop with a 4K display shipping this month for $1,500. So if you're looking for a 4K display in a laptop, 3840 by 2160, and Acer has announced a new version of its V Nitro Black Edition Portable, and it's got a 1 terabyte drive. It's got a quad-core i7 processor. It's got a 256-gig solid-state drive, 16 gigs of memory, a GeForce GTX 860M graphic card. So this is pretty nice system for $1,500. You got to be kidding me. So you're looking for a 4K machine. This is the way to go, gamers. Be ready. And also the 5K Retina IMAX screen is running at 60 hertz at the 5K resolution. So just be aware of that. So people are saying that was surprising news. Everyone thought it was going to be running at 30 megs versus 60 megahertz. Also, there's an anonymous Apple Store employee sharing tricks for getting the best service possible. And this really isn't the secret. If you're a business owner, make sure when you go into Apple Store, you tell them you're a business owner. I always do. I have a business account with Apple. They give me a little bit of a discount. Also, don't forget, if you're military, you automatically get 10% off your purchases at the Apple Store. Or retired military. Always be on the lookout for the person holding an iPad who can direct you to the specialist who can fill your needs. Always book an appointment if you need any kind of a service, like if you need to do a genius appointment. And always be nice. You know, always talk to the folks. And don't talk smack about why you hate Macs or why you like Windows machines or whatever like that. Go in there and be a fanboy to get the best support. Apple's also hired a DC lobbyist for competition and IP issues. So and it's good. I like to see that the media companies and, you know, like Apple and so forth are hiring lobbyists. It's good in many ways. It really is. And the company spent just under $3 million on a diverse agenda of subjects on its lobbyists this year. So we'll see where this goes. But Google spent $13 million so far this year. But, you know, we need the tech companies to be in there, you know, helping shape policy. And sometimes we may not agree with it, but at least they're engaged. I think don't you think you and I all need a lobbyist too? Well, actually, we do. We just, you're in Washington, go see your congressman. And if you call their staff on the phone, I call my congressional staff a lot. Matter of fact, some of them know me by name. There's going to be an Apple sold by Steve Jobs from Parents Garage up for auction. An early Apple device, again, is going to valued between $400,000 and $600,000. It's going to be available. And this is one of the first ones that they put together and that was built. It was sold right out of the garage there in Cupertino. If you're waiting for the Apple Watch, you may be waiting to April. So don't get your hopes up anytime soon. Also, I was looking at the Nexus 9. I've got a couple of Nexus tablets here. Not getting a lot of great reviews, folks. They're saying it's a premium tablet with not so premium feel. Performance, price, and build is a little lacking, they say. It has a 2048 by 1536 8.9-inch screen. It's running Android 5.0 Lollipop. It's got a Tegra K1 dual core, 2 gigs of RAM, 16 or 32 gigs of storage. It either comes with 802.11abgn or AC Wi-Fi, NFC optional and LTE optional, micro USB, but $400. And they're not necessarily saying a lot of positive things. The build quality on it is a little lacking. So not good news there. Microsoft has fired another shot across about Apple in a pretty cool ad. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Alibaba is getting ready to come up with its first earnings test. And actually, I had someone ask me the other day, if you were going to buy any stock, whose stock would you buy? And I'm like, well, let's see how Alibaba does in this next go around. And if they're able to keep from the stock from imploding, it might be a stock to look at. Who are you guys buying these days? What stock are you buying? Are you buying any stock? Can you afford to buy any stock? I usually buy one or two of something. And that's basically all I can afford. All right, flaw in the new Visa cards would allow hackers to steal up to $1 million per card. how do they do that when you don't have who has $1 million in credit on a credit card, first of all? According to researchers at Newcastle University in the UK, the card system developed by Visa for use in the UK fails to recognize transactions made in non-UK foreign currencies and then can therefore be tricked into approving any transaction up to $999,999.99. So it knows UK currency, but it doesn't know dollars or euros. So it knows pounds, but it doesn't know anything else. Oh man, they have totally jacked that one up. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Speaking of the things going on across the pond there, British spy agency is demanding more help from its tech titans. Of course, the following U.S. government's counterparts, the new head of Britain's government communication headquarters, criticizes tech firms for permitting terrorists to use their service. Robert Hannigan, the newly appointed director of Britain's equivalent of the U.S. National Security Agency, wrote a column in Financial Times denouncing tech companies' efforts to protect against spies without legal warrants. While companies aspire to be neutral conduits of data free of political considerations, their services not only host the materials of violent extremism or child exploitation, but are the routes for the facilitation of crime and terrorism, he wrote. I'm going to tell you, they are going to get into everything. They want access to all data at all times. The feds, again, Attorney General Eric Holder, after saying he wasn't going to be going after reporters anymore, he's going after James Risen, the New York Times reporter. And, of course, the department just been harassing him for a while, trying to give up his sources. Of course, they already know who his source is, but they want him to admit it, and they want to try to underscore his ability to have to protect sources. So they're not stopping going after these reporters. On VentureBeat, they've got a review of the Samsung Galaxy Note Edge, which I already got to touch, but it launches in November 14th in the United States on all major carriers. Pretty nice device. Windows 8.1 users can now sign up to test Skype's real-time speech translation tool. There will be a limited selection of languages through the Microsoft Home Company. Didn't share which ones. The sign-up page did offer a hint through the 12 languages are listed as choices. So Arabic, Chinese, Chinese Mandarin, English, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Portuguese, Russian, and Spanish. It's very, very hard to do Japanese right. If this works, holy smokes, this is going to be cool. I don't speak much Japanese, but if I could have their mom talk to me and we could talk back and forth and get the translation, it'd be awesome. We'll be testing it. I'm going to be forced now to upgrade some machine. Actually, get the laptop out. Okay, we'll do that. All right, I guess I'm talking to myself. Is that weird? CNET. Who does magazines anymore? CNET is expanding its platform into producing a monthly magazine. CNET will print 200,000 copies of its inaugural issue of the magazine, which will carry articles of its own rather than recycling content from CNET.com. So it's going to have special stuff. They're going to have the Ultimate Tech Gift Guide, Driving Reinvented, the 2014 Tesla Model S, and Should You Wait for the Apple Watch or Not? I bet these are all going to be sponsored editions. Who does print? No one does print anymore. Come on. Also, there's a video over on Uber Gizmo talking about 300 bent iPhone 6 Plus units. It gives me lots of hope here with my 6 Plus coming. But you can watch the video on... you can watch the video of 300 bent phones. Say someone saying in the chat room, okay, back after spending some money with music, radio, creative. Oh, those are good guys. I'm glad you spent some money with them. That team's great. This is someone in the chat room, Jason, basically talking about those guys do good stuff. All right. Google Calendar app has been updated. For those of you on Android, lucky, lucky, lucky you. Why isn't there a good Google Calendar app for iOS? I think Google's just done it to stick a finger in our eyeballs. But anyway, I love Google Calendar. I live and die by that thing. All right, final couple of articles tonight for you. Have you ever thought about strapping a GoPro to a ceiling fan? Well, the video that's in this article, do not watch this thing if you have... I actually just had to change it because it almost makes you want to throw up just watching the video. Again, do not watch that video on a full stomach. All right. I'm warning you. You've been warned. If you puke all over the keyboard, it's not my fault. You hear about Taylor Swift? Well, she got a little upset, apparently. And she has pulled her entire catalog off Spotify. She's complaining she's not making enough money. Okay. No loss in my department. Any of you like now going to cry because Taylor Swift is not on Spotify? I wasn't going to buy her CD anyway. Who buys CDs? No one buys CDs. But she thinks it's going to help sales. I don't know. Sprint, boy, I tell you, if you're working for Sprint, man, hold on to your horses. We're actually going to get some Sprint review stuff here soon. But Sprint is cutting 2,000 jobs as its new CEO takes the reins. So, man, they're just a rough ride here. They're trying to get to lean and mean, and they're trying to return the carry to health financially. But Sprint is operating an operating loss of $192 million during its second quarter. July through September, it lost 272,000 of its bread and butter postpaid subscribers during the period. Wow, I'm still using a Sprint USB stick from time to time. And also, those of you on Android have received a new modern Gmail app. It's doing all kinds of stuff. It'll connect to more email services than Gmail. And I think I can skip that one. Also, someone has invented what they call the world's most precise clock. It can keep time for 5 billion years. Why do we need a clock that can keep time for 5 billion years? If you want to know exactly what time it is, head over to Boulder, Colorado, where a fountain of cesium atoms ticks off the U.S. official time. It should be accurate for the next 300 million years, but don't be impressed. The world's actual most precise clock is a few miles away at a different lab in Boulder. And again, it's supposed to keep perfect time for 5 billion years. Okay. nothing will be left in 5 billion years. None of us will absolutely care. All right. And many generations won't care. And I'm sure they'll replace it 25 times over. All right, that's it. That's going to bring me to the end of the show. Let me go ahead and load up the commentary that has come in via email. As a reminder, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews as well. We want you to do so. Please, please, please send your comments in. And also, I am remiss. I got Sam smack me side of the head today. I need to order some devices. So those of you that won prizes, during the 10th anniversary show, I'm guilty. I haven't ordered them yet. I'll do that. Told Sam I would try to do it tonight after the show. So consider me reprimanded. Okay. I just, you know, I ought to give just Sam the access to the checking account. Let him order it. Let's see here. Let me look at the last show. Was on the 30th. So, boy, we had a lot of email that's come in. Got an email from Bree. She said, "Hey, Todd, did you see this? Everyone 51 scientists deathbed video of UFOs are real. Aliens have federal jobs." Don't know if I trust what that guy had to say, Bree, but that was a good one. Also got an email here, some feedback from our email on our family update. Do appreciate those of you that replied on that. Rick, Lonnie, Randy, Stefan, all of you, thank you for replying, and I know many more have sent Don an email, but we'll keep you informed, everyone else. So Tim sent me a link here. Let's see here, which one was this? So I got to click on that to load it. And this was an article about the ISS at night, the International Space Station at night. They took some pictures over there on board. Pretty creepy stuff. It's really cool. And actually, it gives you, remember that movie Sandra Bullock was in when they, you know, blew up the space shuttle and basically she was going to the Chinese space station. She got on, nobody was on board. Stuff was just flying everywhere. It was kind of like, gives you kind of that feel that movie did. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. When you see some of these pictures, they're going to be cool. Also, there's the new shark bands. It's a shark repelling wristband. Okay. Are they think this is really going to work? I don't know if that's really the case. Also got another email from Breach, says educational cyber playground. And this, those of you that listen to the show down under, you need to listen up. Copyright monopoly enforcement gets to trump human rights yet again. Australia's administration introduced a data retention bill, learning nothing from the court rulings that declare the practice to be in violation of fundamental rights. They plan to log everybody's correspondence and movements with the idea of using that data to enforce the monopoly. In December 4, 2015, the European Parliament approved legislation that was more stack-US than anything previously imagined. Citizens would have every piece of communications logged for a minimum of 6 months, including where it was made, so that they could be used against a citizen if needed be. Who people talk to, how, from where, and when. In effect, since your mobile phone communications is more or less all the time, every footstep you took through a European city was not only monitored, but recorded for the specific purpose of using it against you. Now, okay, this is saying European, but how come this is not, this started off as an Australian article? Did I say that wrong? Yeah, Australian administration has introduced a data retention bill. Okay, so the legislation, data retention directive, causes an outrage, and rightly so, but the gears of justice turned slowly on April 8, 2014. Almost 10 years later, the European Court of Justice, the highest court in Europe, ruled that the legislation violated a number of fundamental citizen rights and so forth, but goes on and on and on here. This week, okay, now I'm getting to the meat. This week, about 10 years late, Australia has introduced their own data retention of the same old model, or at least that's what most people think the bill has been introducing, yet it hasn't, because nobody is allowed to read the details of what data is actually required to be retained in the bill yet. And just as unsurprisingly, the first thing that pops up as purpose for this violatory legislation, is copyright monopoly enforcement. So in other words, they want to spy on you big time, for those of you down in Australia. I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. Definitely call your, what do they call them down there? Your legislature, your congressperson, whoever it may be. But definitely look this out. And also, if you're worried about what the FCC is going to do here on this net neutrality thing, if they're going to split the difference, you're going to have to make a decision whether or not you want to tell the FCC what you think about. You're going to have to become vocal about that. So they're worried about having what's called a Frankenstein Net Neutrality Act. So if you don't want this Frankenstein type of mixed deal, start doing blog posts and hashtagging FCC and so forth. All right, that's going to bring us to the end of the show today. And as always, I want you to send us your comments about the show. I dearly appreciate you all for being here with me and hanging out for the past hour and 13 minutes at this point. And definitely thank you for staying subscribed. Definitely share the show with your friends, family members, people that you know. It's getting ready to be the holidays. You're going to tell them, hey, I want you to geek out with a geek from Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com. Say that 10 times real fast. But drop me an email here at geeknews@gmail.com. And let's all geek out together. We'll see you next time. And again, it may, I'll let you know, but again, I'm going to be gone at least for the next two shows. If I'm able to bring you one or two, I'll do that. If not, I have a guest host. If not, I'll be back here a week from now. Making that run to Michigan, I know you guys are going to miss me, but thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the Ohana, the best Ohana on the planet. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.